Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
We're going to continue today in our study on spiritual warfare with an emphasis thus far on the devil, his work, his very real efforts to frustrate righteousness. We have had two foundational verses so far for this study. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And our second foundational verse, 1 Thessalonians 2:18, "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." There is a very real spiritual battle. This is not a game. If we would only stand back and think, there has to be powers out there greater than us. The whole idea of creation, and yes, creation, unashamedly, this world was created in 6 days. I don't care how much they promote it. We are not an evolutionary accident. We were given the breath of life by Almighty God. And He cares very much about our lives in all aspects therein. And there's a very real devil that from the beginning fell due to pride, tempted Eve, sin entered this world, and here we are today. We have studied so far Satan's strategies, the grand umbrella of deception, that he is subtle, that he presents himself to be holy. Come to grips with that one. He appears as an angel of light. Put that together with subtlety, what a deceiver he is. And he works by planting thoughts in people's minds. Therefore, we studied 8 areas where the devil tries to deceive us into thinking that we have no sin, talking to believers. Now, of course, he wants to deceive the unsaved concerning salvation, but he tries to deceive believers into thinking that we have no sin. He wants to deceive us to be hearers only but not doers of the word. He wants us to deceive ourselves that we're religious and yet we don't bridle our tongue. He wants to deceive us to think we're something when we're nothing. He wants to deceive us to think that we're wise with worldly wisdom. He wants to deceive us to think that we will not reap what we sow. He wants to deceive us that we can have evil company and will not be corrupted by it. And he wants to deceive us into thinking that sin is just not that bad. Sin is horrible. It put God Himself on the cross. The next time you're tempted, well, it's just a little sin. That little sin put Christ on the cross. So it is, the devil is out to keep the unsaved unsaved, and he is trying to make saved people ineffective in their service, in their Christian life, that the light does not shine. Today I want to truly emphasize in our study, we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. We are truly in a spiritual battle on this earth. Many times, we think the focal point is this person. We must remember that there's a spiritual power behind that. This is truth. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Paul's very sobering words. Thus, when Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2:18, "But Satan hindered us," believably there was someone of flesh and blood there, but he saw the deeper motive behind this, that there was an evil power. And we're going to see more of that this morning. That we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. It is interesting that Paul recognized the hand of the devil. Satan hindered us. He looked deeper. Whatever the situation was that hindered him, Satan's behind this. This is something that I really want us to get as we consider spiritual warfare today. To begin our understanding, let us stop and reflect, where do your life's hardships come from? I have four things, but you could probably name some more. Where do your trials and tribulations come from? Number one, Satan. Obvious, that's part of this study. The devil does set out to hinder people, to keep them deceived from truth. Where does a Christian get problems? His trials. God will literally bring problems into your life. How about chastening? God will literally bring chastening into the life of a Christian for his wrongdoing and for correction. Another area where hardships come into the life of a believer, how about just your reasonable service? And along the way, you're going to encounter opposition. Take the illustration of a soldier. Why are they shooting at me? Because you're a soldier. You haven't done anything wrong. It's not part of your training. It's just part of the Christian service. I want you to consider that as we list four, and surely we could list more, four areas where problems come from, Paul, in his statement in Ephesians 6:12, does not differentiate in these hardships. He simply says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. He did not sit there and say, now, only if it's a direct attack from Satan are we not wrestling flesh and blood. Or, now, if it's a trial, then it's not flesh and blood. Or, if it's chastening. Or, if it's your duty. He didn't separate it. Because the truth is, all of them are spiritual in nature. And guess what? The devil is ever ready to take whatever's going on in your life and make it worse. And so it is, let's take the scenario. For example, God has brought a trial into your life to help you grow. The devil's going to get in there. He plants thoughts. We've already studied this. And he's going to, God's angry at you. No, God's not angry at you. But now the problem is compounded because now we've got the trial from the Lord and at the same time we've got the lie of the devil. So there's more than one issue at hand here. Paul bundled them all together. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Take a school student. And the teacher gives schoolwork and tests and homework. Is the student supposed to think that teacher hates me because they give me problems in math? No. You would say that's a serious confusion. Well, that's where it is with the devil. God brings trials to help us to grow, and the devil wants to think that he's mad at us. Now, if we can see it in a school student, let's apply it in our lives. But that's true. The devil will try to compound the situation. How about if we really have done something wrong, and so now the Lord brings chastening, the devil's going to make it worse? That wasn't really sin. And he's going to start to lie to you to make it worse. Or, you've sinned so bad, God can't forgive you. How about this one? You've got an opposition, a trial, a hardship in your life due to righteous living. You've done nothing wrong, but somebody's angry at you because of your righteousness. This is very real also, that we're going to suffer persecution. Well, the devil's going to make it worse. It's not really your righteous living, buddy. God's mad at you. So it is, Paul gave an umbrella, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and he didn't define the areas. It's all a spiritual battle. See, one of the things too with this idea of righteous living, and we're suffering for that, one of the things the devil's going to want you to do is to not really recognize it's simply righteous living. Really, there's sin in your life. That's why this is happening. Now, the truth is there's always sin in everybody's life. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth's not in us. But now, the believer starts to get this thought in his mind from the devil, What have I done? Well, it's not that you did anything. So I hope I've made my point that problems come from many areas, but the devil's always in there to make it worse. And Paul just says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Therefore, one of the things we must not do is sit there and overanalyze our lives trying to figure out where our problems came from. Now, is this a trial or is God chastening me? Yes. The bottom line, look to the Lord and just ask Him to help you grow. Because we can waste a whole lot of time trying to figure it out. Don't worry about it. Just learn from it and grow spiritually. Therefore, we can use as an anchor verse here, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. When all of life's trials and tribulations are coming your way, lean not to your own understanding. Don't analyze it. In all thy ways, whatever is going on in your life, just acknowledge God. He'll direct your path. Because the truth is, your problems are more compound than one clean-cut issue. And we must just accept it and trust in the Lord and look to grow spiritually, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I want us to really come to grips with this flesh and blood with a couple illustrations, but we're going to begin with the famous story of David and Goliath. There's something very interesting here in 1 Samuel chapter 17. The setting is the children of Israel, under the leadership of King Saul, are assembled in the valley of Elah against the Philistines. And there, Goliath presents himself 40 days. No one takes the challenge to stand against him. But there's a little shepherd boy who in chapter 16 was ordained and anointed to be the next king. He's back tending sheep and his brothers are in the army. And his dad, Jesse, says, David, I want you to go take these provisions to your brothers and go check and see how they do in the battle. So David takes and he goes out to the battlefield. And while he's there checking on his brothers, this giant presents himself. And nobody will stand up. And David's like, what's going on? Why isn't anybody doing anything? Well, David said, I'm not afraid to fight this guy. Well, word got to King Saul. King Saul calls him over. And now David talks to King Saul and says, I'm able to do it. King Saul says, no, you can't. He was a warrior from his youth. You're just but a kid. But look what David says, starting in 1 Samuel 17:34. And David said unto Saul, thy servant, referring to himself, kept his father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. David very clearly points out he had an earthly struggle whilst he was tending the sheep, and there this animal came up, this lion and this bear, to take one of the sheep. And David defended the sheep, and he said, it's going to be like that when I go out there. As the Lord delivered me from that battle, the Lord is going to deliver me from Goliath, and I will be victorious. Let us jump ahead now up to verse 43, and let us see this actual contest as David does go out and confront Goliath. Verse 43, and the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest unto me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Now David has already referenced that God delivered me when I was tending sheep. Now this unsaved Philistine is saying, I am cursing you by my gods. And the Philistine said to David, verse 44, come to me, I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. So here it is, earthly speaking, we've got these armies assembled, and in the middle of the field, there is Goliath, there's David, there's Goliath's armor bearer, but fundamentally, David and Goliath, and they each reference a spiritual world in the battle. Now, I want us to go back and reflect again what David said before he went to the battle. 1 Samuel chapter 17, let's start at verse 34. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, two animals, and took a lamb, one lamb, out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him. I went after him singular and smote him singular, and delivered it, the lamb, out of his singular mouth. And when he arose singular against me, I caught him singular by his singular beard and smote him singular and slew him singular. Thy servant slew both, plural. The lion and the bear, plural. Does that not strike you odd? So what is it? Is he fighting a lion and a bear? Or is he fighting him? The Bible makes no mistakes. And God does not keep repeating singular, 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 and yet very clearly reference plural and plural and plural and plural. There's a lesson here for us. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. Something very interesting. The Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And David is clearly linking a past experience where there was plural yet singular, but plural. And he says, it's going to be just like that when I go out there against Goliath. These two animals captured one lamb. By the way, did you know that bears and lions don't usually pal together and go kill a lamb? And they share it? This is not the way they work. It doesn't say David killed them plural, he killed singular. David has acknowledged this spiritual battle even when he was a shepherd. And he says that's what it's going to be like when I go out against Goliath. It's a spiritual battle. You see, earthly speaking, it's going to look like David will fight Goliath, end of subject. But David knew there is a bigger picture here. Because there is really a spiritual power behind me, David, he would say. The Lord God Almighty is going to be on my side and is going to direct me in this battle. Because I am not wrestling against flesh and blood. David is facing Goliath, who literally cursed him by his own gods. Now, of course, his gods are nothing. And David yet had the God of all creation on his side. So earthly speaking, you have got man on man, and yet the truth is you've got God in this battle, and you've got the devil behind Goliath. Clearly, Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. David was really not wrestling against flesh and blood. He was wrestling against the powers of evil. Sending this defiant man who defied the armies of the living God. The evil powers motivated Goliath, and the God of all creation motivated David. I want you to look that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul references how the devil uses unsaved people and guides them and influences them. Please, look, as we review, he is telling the people of Ephesus, the born-again people, this is what you used to be like when you were unsaved. And you, born-again people at Ephesus, hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein, in time past, before you were saved, you walked, you lived according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. You lived according to the devil. Now, they don't know this, They're blind to it. But they only have an old nature. They're dead in trespasses and sin. Let's keep reading. Let's read verse 3. Among whom also we all of us were like this. We all had our conversation, our behavior in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. We were all like this, controlled by the prince and the power of the air, who uses our sinful nature and the lust thereof to control us. And so it is, the devil is behind it. But I want you now to consider, as the devil is provoking and leading unsaved people, please consider 1 Peter 5:8. Christian, be sober. Be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion who escorted the bear against David, is roaring to seek whom he may devour. You see, David, I really believe, fought a bear, but he saw the lion, the devil, spiritually behind it. And this was the real battle. That's why David looked at it, and in one sense, he saw one animal, but he saw the lion of the devil behind it. Which I think also we can say, isn't it an incredible parallel, as Christians are called sheep? And we have the great shepherd taking care of us? And earthly speaking, we have human attacks, but there is a devil behind them. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion. I believe this is what 1 Samuel 17 is saying when David went from plural, plural, singular, 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 plural, because earthly speaking, we're wrestling against flesh and blood, but Paul's saying, no, there's a bigger picture. Your adversary, the devil, out there is a roaring lion. And he is behind evil, trying to frustrate Christians, trying to discourage them, and trying to keep the unsaved unsaved. We do wrestle against people. But folks, we've got to remember, there is a very real spiritual battle. This is not a game. And David saw the truth, and we have to see the truth of where the real battle stands. I want you to think about this. The whole army of Israel was there aligned against the Philistines, and David was the only one that saw it was spiritual in nature. For 40 days, Goliath presented himself, and the whole army of Israel lived in terror and fear because nobody saw God in the picture. David got there and said, what are you guys afraid of? Is God on the throne or isn't he? God's going to conquer that guy. And so it was, it says in 1 Samuel 17, David ran at the Philistine because he saw the spiritual. I see a bigger picture. I don't just see a bear. I see a bear and a lion. And I killed it in the flesh. Yes, we have a battle one-on-one, but we've got to realize there's a spiritual power behind it. David got the victory over both. David properly identified the problem, therefore David properly identified the solution and brought the victory. Christian, let's see the whole picture here. We really are not wrestling against flesh and blood. I want to take us to another situation real quick and see where the battle in one sense is earthly, but in another sense it's very real spiritual. And this is the very famous story of good old Job. Chapters 1 and 2 of Job, we see that Satan literally presents himself before the throne of God. Job's name comes up, and God allows Satan to have a certain amount of authority over the life of Job. He says, you can do anything but kill him. Now, I want you to remember, Job doesn't know that conversation went on. How would you like your name right now being discussed in heaven? God didn't tell us. But God did allow Satan to have certain authority over the life of Job, literally, except kill him. Well, as we read chapter 1, we see he was a godly man. He sacrificed. He had a family. And then it's discussed. Take a look at Job 1:9. Satan answered the Lord, doth Job fear God for naught? I mean, is there, but he fears you because you're so good to him. and you've protected him. Verse 12, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. You can't kill him. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now what do you think Satan, when he left the presence of the Lord, where was he going? To Job. Now we see the spiritual behind this. Now let's look at the earthly. Job chapter 1 verse 15. And the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. They have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. Only I am escaped. Who provoked the Sabians to attack? We just looked at it. The devil did. Earthly speaking, the Sabians attacked. How about Job chapter 1 verse 16? While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. Now, earthly speaking, they gave credit to God for sending this fire for some unknown reason, but we know from what we just read, who really was behind that fire falling? The devil. How about verse 17? While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and carried them away and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. Who provoked the Chaldeans? The devil. Earthly speaking, the Chaldeans came in. But who was behind it? The devil. How about verse 18? While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. Behold, there came a great wind. Who do you think was behind the great wind? And smote the four corners of the house. It fell upon the young men. They're all dead. So we see here three powerful lessons. Number one, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. There's a spiritual battle behind this, just like there was a spiritual battle behind Goliath, just like there was a spiritual battle behind the lion and the bear. Second powerful lesson we see, Satan has incredible power in nature and in influencing people. And the third wonderful lesson is, Satan can only do what God allows him to do. Praise God. There is no power struggle per se, and God is fighting to hang on to the throne. God could wipe out the devil in a second, but he chooses not to. But he does limit him. We really must see the very real spiritual battle in life. The devil is very real and out to get you and me and every person. Now, the devil is not omnipresent, but he has got his little demonic minions all over. There's enough evil influence out there to affect all of us. I want us to go back to where we were in the beginning. We started this study with our limited understanding. Please consider Judges chapter 6, verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, when you see that in Scripture, that means the original Hebrew word was Jehovah, the formal name of God. Because many times you'll also see capital L, small case O, small case R, small case D. That means, if I can use the expression, the office of God. God doesn't have an office. You know, we have a president, and the president has a name. God has a name, and God has the office of God. The Lord Jehovah personally delivered them. Who moved the Midianites to overtake Israel? God. Now, I want to point this out because we just saw that the devil was behind the Sabians and the Chaldeans. But here in Judges, we see the Lord is the one that moved the Midianites. He did it. Because in our earthly thinking, many times we're not going to understand which is it. Now, we happen to know because Scripture revealed these. But Job was not told of the conversation in heaven. He had to go along with the program and watch God bless and unfold it so that he finally understood. Many times in this life, we're going to look at earthly situations and not be able to understand, well, is this a trial? Is this from God or is this from the devil? Or is this? So I'm back at the beginning. Let's not waste our time trying to necessarily figure out what the problem is, particularly, but rather accept the fact All problems are spiritually in nature, fundamentally, and the answer is look to God in every case. In every case, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Many times we're not going to understand. But we know this is true. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Because we're not going to understand many things of life. Lean not to your own understanding. But I don't understand. Yeah, okay. I don't either. Don't worry about it. Commit yourself to the one who knows everything. And in all your ways acknowledge Him. In the middle of all of the trials and tribulations, in all of your confusions, and in all of your discouragement, and yet in all of your excitement, let it all at the hand of God, and He will direct your path. Don't waste your time. Now, would you do well to inspect yourself for sin? Amen. Would you do well to learn to trust God more? Amen. Would you learn to live righteously so that you would be fulfilling the duties of a soldier and therefore maybe suffer some persecution? Amen. In each case, the bottom line is apply yourself to holiness. And don't waste a lot of time trying to figure out exactly what the problem is, because the answer in every case is look for the Lord and apply yourself to holiness and righteousness. Well, I hope today you see from these biblical examples, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. There is a very real spiritual battle out there. Earthly speaking, it will appear that your problem is this person or this person and this person or this person. And that goes on and on for us as individuals, for us as a church, for us as a community, as a nation, it goes on. But the truth is, it's a spiritual battle, and in each case, seek God and trust Him with all of life's circumstances. But where does it begin? Let that hand represent every person that's ever come onto this earth. And let this billfold represent sin. God loves the sinner, but He hates the sin, and everyone's got sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're born with a sin nature. And as we looked at this morning in Ephesians chapter 2, in that sin nature, we don't have the Holy Spirit guiding us to make right the choices. So we are under the influence of the power, the prince of the power of the air, preying upon our old nature and our sinful lusts. And we need a Savior, because if we die with this on us, we're going to spend eternity separated from God. But God is not willing that any should perish. God did not elect some to go to heaven and some to go to hell. That's just not true. God is not willing that any should perish. Why would He then elect some to go to hell? Let that hand represent Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, Emmanuel. He came born of a virgin, lived the perfect life, for He was perfect. He was God. And when He was on the cross, the sin of every person was laid upon Him. He didn't just cover sin, He took it away, He paid it, He satisfied it with His death. But the grave could not hold Him. He rose again the third day, paid in full. How do you go to heaven? When you realize in the quietness of your mind, I get it. I am dead in trespasses and sin, and there is nothing I can do in my flesh to get rid of that sin debt. I could join every church in town, walk aisles, raise my hand, and on and on and on. None of that will even begin to pay that sin debt. You are hopeless in yourself, but God has made the provision, and He took your personal sin, my sin, and every person's sin, and you start to realize, I get it. He paid my sin debt. It's not my good works. It's not my reformed life. It's not my good deeds. It's whatever. None of those things, because salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. I get it. It's not what I do that gets rid of this. It's what Jesus did. And I put my faith in Jesus and His shed blood, His broken body, death, burial, and resurrection. I trust that and only that for my salvation. That moment you have eternal life. For God so loved the world, but He hated the sin, that He gave His only begotten Son to pay the sin debt of the world. Whosoever believes in his work of redemption, and that alone, for their salvation, shall not perish, go to hell, but have everlasting life. That's the good news. That's the message that the devil does not want the unsaved to hear. But that's the message that brings salvation.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.